You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I'm Brent Thomas. This is going to be a foreword to the actual podcast that you're going to listen to in just a minute. I wanted to give you a little background on some things that happened during the recording of this podcast. Some really strange and weird technical issues came up, many of which happened without me even touching any part of the computer. And you're going to hear them throughout the recording of the show, but mostly at the tail end. I need to tell you that I believe that these events may very well be paranormal, and my belief is that by virtue of doing a show about the paranormal, continually talking about the paranormal, that perhaps we magnetize ourselves to the paranormal and it sometimes actually shows up. I was faced with a choice of whether to release the episode in its current form or to record it again, making all the errors disappear. I put a question out to our live audience, and overwhelmingly the response I got back was, leave it the way it is, because all of our listeners felt that that is just the better representation of the show and things that they've seen firsthand as they're watching the show. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Thank you very much for supporting the show, and enjoy the episode. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Absolutely thrilled to be here with you guys today, and I got a great show lined up for you guys tonight, one that I'm really excited to bring you, because tonight's guest is a longtime friend of the Paranormal Portal, and she's been an amazing guest many times herself and has made a number of amazing connections for us here on the portal, opening a lot of doors that probably never would have been opened if it weren't for her. So but she is an avid Bigfoot researcher and enthusiast, has been doing so for decades, and is just an all-around amazing person. So tonight's guest is Mrs. Cindy Goodbrake. Welcome to the show, Cindy, and thanks so much for being here.
Oh, no problem. But hold on. Decades?
Well, that's what I thought. Is that not right?
Let's see. Can I count? Am I 75 years old?
Well, we're going with generalities here. Well, okay, so many years. How's that sound?
Many years.
Many years it is. You've been researching for many years. How did this all start for you?
I just saw the Patterson film when I was small, and in 1999, I just typed in the internet, you know, Sasquatch or... And I got hooked up with different individuals, and the rest is history, basically.
Mm-hmm. So you've been out in the field. Primarily, most of your research had been in the South, isn't that correct?
Yes, because I'm from Texas, and I lived east of Dallas. Okay. And I had been to a couple of places in the Big Thicket, uh-huh. and also Southeast Oklahoma, because my husband has some family there up mm-hmm. in Tallahena. But we would go to Honobie. I think I'm saying that correctly. I never say that right. We spent years up there on camping trips, also with our horses and with our friends. And of course, you know, when I was up there, I found, and we had a lot of different experiences. Well, at least I did, you know, and different encounters, I guess, while camping. And I even had an encounter as far as in 1997, when I think that was the first time that my husband said, hey, you know, let's go to Tallahena. I wanted to take you to go meet my aunt. And so then we went there. Then we came down to Honobie, kind of took a look around mm-hmm. and thought, oh, this will be a neat place to come camping. And we were actually there on a spending the night somewhere by the creek. I don't know where. It wasn't maybe 6 miles from the actual Honobie store. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting around the campfire, and I heard my first Sasquatch sound, but I didn't know what it was at that time. I heard something like a siren sound. Oh, wow. And I had never heard anything like that. And I asked my husband, what the heck is that? And he just said, I have no idea. So that the following year, I just happened to get into the research part of it, which was ironic.
And
you know,
yeah, I suppose, but it's become such a huge passion for you, and something that you've been doing for so many years, and you've really got some amazing things in your research, and you've had some amazing experiences. Now, I remember one time you shared us a story where, you know, and this is a big topic in the Bigfoot field, dealing with infrasound. And ladies and gentlemen, what this is, infrasound is a type of tactic used by many different animals in the animal kingdom. It is used by tigers. It is used by elephants. It is used by other animals as well. And essentially mm-hmm. what it is it's a wavelength that certain animals can emit with their voices, or with their, you know, voice box, or through some mechanic of their body, that actually has a stunning, disorienting effect on the target. And many people in Sasquatch and Bigfoot research make mention of being zapped. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's this sensation that they're out there researching in the field, and suddenly they're feeling dizzy, they're feeling disoriented, things don't seem right, and they're way off their center. And, you know, there's been people claiming it took them days to work through this. And many researchers believe that this is, in fact, an infrasound tactic used by Bigfoot or Sasquatch. And mm-hmm. you were sharing you had a similar experience.
So, you know, again, talking about the Big Thicket, and a lot of people have talked about this, so I don't think giving out the location is a big deal, because the people I hang out with have done podcasts. Mm-hmm. So we were at the Boykin Springs, I think it was, and there was actually quite a few of us, and it was our regular group. And sometime that night, I was standing next to one of my research partners mm-hmm. who happened to be at that time my best friend, and I couldn't move. I was stunned, and if there's anything I remember other than I couldn't move, I remember seeing her in front of me, however far away she was, and she was like lit up, like lit up, and, you know, kind of like but it was very strange. I couldn't move for, I don't know, a tiny bit. And then all of a sudden I was just like released. It was weird. And I don't remember a whole lot about that night, but the next couple of days, really like the day and a half, I was really tired and nauseous, and I could barely function.
Wow. Yeah. And that's, everything that I've heard about infrasound, that's what it sounds like too. When people have talked about experiencing it, it's that same kind of effect, that weird disorienting a feeling, and you know, being frozen, being I don't know if it's necessarily paralyzed, but it's like you're in such an altered state suddenly that moving just like it's not even possible, right?
Yeah, and I was talking to another friend of mine today. He was telling me about when he was out taking two other people on a trail that he had gone down. He was hit with something. He said he was zapped, and he was disoriented. He couldn't even, like, they had to use a GPS to get back to, their location.
Wow.
And I was like, because I had actually heard of people becoming disoriented, mm-hmm. you know, for a bit. And someone else told me that's probably one of the reasons why I don't remember a whole lot, because I have, now this is a nurse that told me, a nurse who is actually, she's into the same thing, mm-hmm. but she's coming from a medical aspect.
Okay.
I said, I can't remember a lot about that night. And she said, probably because just something, you know, when I got zapped, which sounds really funny.
Sure.
I don't know. It just affected me because I have vertigo really bad. And I wasn't driving. I don't remember a lot. Mm-hmm. So she thinks that I was hit so hard that it affected me that way too, where I couldn't, you know, wow. I was like, duh, for the rest of the night. I was shot for the rest of the night.
Oh man. And
yep.
For time after that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that was probably the worst time, and I'm sure other times, you know, I've had it, but not like that. That was pretty extreme.
Yeah, that sounds really extreme, and I'm glad it all worked out okay. Do you suppose?
Oh yeah.
Do you suppose perhaps you guys were just getting too close, maybe to, maybe there was an infant there that somebody was trying to defend against. You know, or something.
Well, that area there was just famous from how I understand. Because again, I could be wrong, but I think with all the people that we were with, and from just the people that I had hung out with and what they had talked about the area, mm-hmm. it was just notorious for the more aggressive ones, or at least for that behavioral pattern. And there was a lot of us that night, so I'm sure that didn't help. And another one of our members was actually bluff charged, and
wow.
there was two vehicles there. So it was bad. I mean,
so
whatever way you look at it, it was bad. And, uh-huh. you know, I've heard other people that have said how they were affected, but mm-hmm. it was, you know, it was bad.
So explain to the listeners, what is a bluff charge exactly?
I did not see this happen again. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I think someone said they were trying to push me in a truck, and a Sasquatch had basically charged, and then probably just now how close it came to him and to the vehicle, I am not sure, but it made some form of advancement towards him,
mm-hmm.
and then obviously it turned around. But part of me remembers another part of the story. I don't know if it's on this occasion or another time, but it came so close, it, I don't know if it cuffed him or it tried to, and it barely missed.
Wow.
So it was pretty extreme. So it didn't just like blood charge him. It came like really close, and I was right there and I didn't see anything, but you know, mm-hmm. I really don't remember. I've had to call this person up and ask him like 3 or 4 times, like what happened?
Yeah. So, and I realize you're a little bit, in a different state at that point, but you know, this is a the bluff charging thing is a real common behavior with the great apes, like, you know, chimpanzees and gorillas. And so it's really interesting to me that the Sasquatch may very well have those same characteristics, that they will do posturing and bluff charging just to try to get people to back away, to show dominance, to, you know, establish territory, that kind of thing. And the fact that that behavior seems to be repeating in the Bigfoot Sasquatch field, to me, would seem to lend some possibility to the fact that they may be a great ape. I guess I personally tend to believe that they're just some hominid that, you know, managed to develop right alongside us, but with, you know, in our absence. But, you know, they do seem to have these great ape characteristics that surface every once in a while. It was Les Stroud, and I don't know, I don't know the man personally. But I of course had paid attention to his accounts of running into Bigfoot prior to him doing the Bigfoot show, prior to him doing Sasquatch or Survivor Man Bigfoot. And what he said is he was on this canoe expedition up into the islands off of Alaska, and he was doing a survival series. Basically, he had to kayak from one island to the other and survive until he reached a certain point. And he said he was, the way that the show used to be done was that he would first do trial runs of everything. So he was doing a trial run of setting up his bed, you know, and seeing how that would work, you know, make sure he had a good formula for it. And after he had done that, he would turn on the cameras and actually record it for the cameras. So he would essentially do everything twice. And he said while he was doing a trial run of setting up his bed on this one island up in the remote Alaskan wilderness on this island, and it wasn't part of the mainland, it's an uninhabited island, nobody's out there, it's cold, and he said he was sitting there and suddenly heard this cracking coming from a thicket of trees behind him, and he was just frozen. He was like, he wanted to reach for his camera but couldn't, and he was just frozen there and listening to this. And he said I've been around every animal in North America. I know what they all sound like. The sound that I heard, I've never heard anywhere except similar to a sounds I've heard at a zoo. And he said, and that was at a gorilla exhibit. And he said, this whatever it was cracking through the brush and then went like that, and then took off like a truck through the brush, just smashing brush all the way off into the distance.
Jeez.
And he said, no animal in North America makes that noise. And I thought, wow. So again, we do see these,
except in the zoo.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But we do see these kind of behaviors that are exhibited in the great apes, seemingly also exhibited in these Bigfoot, at least some of them. Now, you're aware of the idea that there's many different types of these beings out there, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think? Now, I've heard that the ones in the South, around the Big Thicket, around, you know, all of the South, are tend to be pretty aggressive compared to the Sasquatch and other regions. Would you say that that's true?
Well, yes and no, because Duke, as I'm sure y'all have heard of him, has told me there's some in Montana. There's areas in Montana where hunters are known to be missing, and they're just as, you know, bad as, you know, or aggressive as the ones in the Big Thicket. The you know, we're talking 20 years now, because I was researching like in 98, 99, and there just was not a lot of people into this at that time. And now you can't even go down there. I was talking to a female researcher friend of mine last night, and she was telling me they had a conference down there, and in Hunt, anyway, by Houston over there. My brain went dead. So all of, you know, everybody just headed out to the national forest. And people were running into each other. People were making calls. I mean, it was, you know, people did have fun. People did have results. They were able to get things accomplished. But 20 years ago, it's not like it is now. Now it's just overrun, you know, with the internet, with YouTube, and
sure,
you know, not like up here. So, yeah, I'd say they're a lot more aggressive in some spots, but there's also places up here where they have pockets.
Sure.
You know, Priest Lake has had some reportings of some aggressive and yes. alpha aggressive, yep. but, and I've been up there a couple of times and I've had some encounters down.
Wow.
One.
Okay. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I got to apologize for that. I was trying to push a button on my production console and it totally misfired. I don't know why, but it went to the credit scene. So I do apologize for that, ladies and gentlemen. I hope all of that recorded. If you hear that theme stuff come in, it shouldn't have happened. I don't know why it did, but again, this is the Paranormal Portal, and I swear to God, this show is haunted. I was actually pushing a scene that should have been two cameras side by side, Don's camera and myself, because I was testing it for tonight's show, which is coming up later. And, you know, it should have continued to record through your dialogue there, but it went right to the credit scene and I'm hitting Don's picture on my display thing and it's not working. And I'm like, oh my God. So I do apologize if that totally chopped out, guys. But basically what Cindy said is that, you know, there are reports of a very aggressive squatch all over. And what I wanted to say to that is that it seems to follow the types, right? Like, so for instance, you know, and this is according to Duke, type one is like Patty. Type two would be like the boogers in the South. And they tend to be more chimp-like in their appearance. Patty is more, you know, the basically based upon the Patterson-Gimlin film, that type of Sasquatch, which is mostly seen in the Pacific Northwest. The type two is seen down in the South. Type three I'm a little sketchy on type three, but type four would be like the baboon nosed ones, which are also referred to as Gugwe and other names. And apparently those are monsters. They are just ruthless monsters.
Yeah. And, I don't really keep up with all the types, you know, one or type twos. Because of where I live, you know, I don't, but maybe if I would have been down south, because back then we didn't say type one or type two, you know, till like years later, and finding out how many different types there are is, you know, it's actually kind of disturbing, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's true. And I would agree with that. It's like, it's one thing to say that there's a big 8 to 10 foot tall creature running around in the wilds of the world, because it's a worldwide phenomena. But then to say that not only is there one, but there's several different kinds is like, oh my God. And then you factor in things like little people and, you know, and,
oh my gosh, I know. It's like, it's like a whole file of cryptids. It's
right.
crazy. You know, it's like each branch has like 50 different types.
I know, like the gnomes, for instance, there's so many types, and we just went through, Don and I just went through this on a pre-record a couple days ago, and it's like there's the house gnomes, there's the woodland gnomes, there's urban gnomes, there's leprechauns and clericons, and these are all in the gnome family. It's like, oh my God. So, you know, and these are based around the research of Miss Robin Moonshadow. And she does.
She's pretty awesome.
She is an amazing person. Yeah. And she's really done an incredible job of making sense of a lot of weird, disparate information. She's cataloged it and pulled it all together. But, you know, it is really humbling to think that all these things go on out there. And then we get into things like Dogman, Cindy, and there's an entire world out there that we're not really aware of.
And I'm going to tell you something.
Sure.
So I have a lot of audios. You heard a lot.
Yeah.
So, I actually don't know, because I have some audios that I know are for sure Sasquatch. And I don't know if you can play any on this show, you know, if you can upload them, I don't know. I can send you the one. I came home one morning at 6:30 a.m. after taking my son down the road, and it was actually Valentine's Day. Uh-huh. And I live in North Idaho now, and it was obviously still snowing, and we had a lot of snow out this past winter,
right,
as you know.
Yeah, I sure do.
And I got down from my truck, and I heard one going off, and it was moaning, and I had never had an encounter like that while I have lived here in my house, which I live in the mountains. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to find my phone in my purse, and I got the tail end of it, but it was good and it was strong. Mm-hmm. And I've never had anything like that happen at 6:30. So that's one of my best recordings. And then I have another one, which was March of, well, actually I have a couple, but it was 2018. Mm-hmm. I got two nights of very good scary recordings, and one was at 11 o'clock, and this is here where I live. I put my audio out like on the front porch or on the back somewhere. This one night I got one where it sounded like a dog.
Wow.
And then it erupts, and you've heard of that one. Yep. The chipmunks are going off. Mm-hmm. You know, clearly there's a predator in the area. Yeah. And then you hear it go off, and then it goes off again, and it goes off again, and it goes off again. You know, I'm sure I've showed you that one. And then another night, it was really late, and I had put my audio out, and my front yard, I have a door that my dogs can go in and out of, and at night I shut it off so that they're not going in and out all night. And the front of my property is fenced in, so my lab was outside. Mm-hmm. And I put my audio recorder out. So the next day I had no idea what had happened. I didn't hear any of this from inside, and it was cold. But my dog was out there barking, and something in the area, probably from across the street, just starts just growling really bad. And then it erupts really bad. And my dog is barking, barking. Wow. And I had no idea that this had happened. My kid was out in our RV with some friends. And then the following night, they were outside. And I told them, I don't want y'all taking off on the four-wheelers. And I got another recording. They actually heard something breathing across the street, and it sounded just really scary.
Right.
And I went outside. I didn't hear anything. And I put my audio out, and I got another recording similar to the one of my dog barking, and it just started out low, but it was strong. Mm-hmm. And then it got really loud, and it just kept going over and over. So I have some really strong audio, and I've been told that those could be a dog, man. But then of course I have other people that say, no, that's a Sasquatch. So
wow.
I don't know.
It, you know, it is hard to tell. And I don't claim to be an expert on any of that either, but It is weird. Whatever you captured, mm-hmm, is really powerful. It's more than a dog. It's more, you know, it's not a bear. Of course, there's bear up in this area. There's wolves, there's coyotes, you know, and there's a lot of things that make different noises, but the noises you captured are really pretty unique, and they are absolutely terrifying. And to think,
I know. And I told my kid, you know, who, he's also had, you know, there's not enough time on your show.
Sure.
He's had encounters. Of course, you've heard all the stories, and, you know, he's had something come up to them.
Oh, yeah.
While they've been out camping.
Right. Yeah. And they of course found that amazing footprint too.
Oh yes.
Which is
my son found that footprint. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our quick break, and we are going to be right back in just a moment. So don't go away. Stay tuned for more of the Paranormal Portal with Cindy Goodbreak joining us tonight. So we'll be right back, everybody.
Come on.
welcome back. This is still the Paranormal Portal Podcast, and I'm still Brent Thomas, your host, and I'm still joined by Mrs. Cindy Goodbrake, who is a great friend of the Paranormal Portal, great friend of my own personally, and just a longtime contributor and a many-time guest to the show. So thank you so much for being here tonight.
Oh, sure. Yes. I enjoy it.
You're stuck with me.
Hey, I'm totally at ease with y'all because I'm used to, you know, talking with y'all. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And you know, I'm just honored to have you on here. And I, you know, we really kind of met just on a whim, which is really funny because, you know, Don and I were kind of early in the whole Paranormal Portal thing, but we were looking in the community to see what was going on. And we saw this posting for a Bigfoot discussion that was going to be at this coffee shop in this small town near here. So we're like, hey, let's go. But I, you know, but the posting was very clear that, you know, they didn't want press or anything there. So I contacted Cindy and I said, you know, can I come? And she goes, why are you press? And I said, well, I have a show, but I'm just coming because I'm really excited about the topic. And she goes, okay, all right, you can come. So I did show up, and Cindy gave this amazing talk with another guest speaker that she had there. Mm-hmm. We had a great time, and afterwards we sat and talked to Cindy for, God, it must have been about 45 minutes, and, you know, I think we've been pretty fast friends ever since, you know?
Yeah, yes, and we've even gone out and done some things, and it seems like it's, you know, like it's been years.
It does. And we got to do some more this year, of course, too. I'm really looking forward to getting out and especially hanging around the campfire at the house there and hearing some of this racket firsthand. I think that would be amazing.
Oh, yeah. So, like, so these days I have a routine. I'm up early. I make coffee. And if I don't have to take my son, I will go outside with my dogs or outside of the fence, and I will walk to the end of my driveway. Mm-hmm. And I've got a couple of different morning final jaunts. Like I've been told by a Native American healer, I guess. Mm-hmm. He was telling me that the one that I played for you, where it was going, but of course, you know, not like that, but. Just sure. Kind of trying to give you an example,
right?
That he said that he described him as a sentinel or a lookout. That's you know, making his final rounds for the day. But he said it was a warning of some kind of what I caught. He said it was very, very like, you know, ordering around whatever he was trying to say or the whatever it was. So I'm really glad that I got it. I've never got anything at 6:30 in the morning. A lot of my stuff, I will come home at night and, you know, I'll catch something or I'll put my audio out and I'll, you know, listen to it the next day. And then I used to work for a friend of mine Monday and Friday nights. I would help them watch their kids. Mm-hmm. So I would come home. Kind of like on schedule every Monday and Friday night, you know, 6 o'clock to whatever time. Mm-hmm. So I came home one night and I told you the story where it was probably 11 something. I got down from my truck, closed the door, and I heard a loud snap crack across the street. And wow. And I'm not talking a deer. It was like a tree breaking, like a tree snapping.
Right.
And I heard it two more times trying to open up my gate, which took forever because we had it tight so my dog couldn't open it up. And I was just, every hair on my body was standing up. Wow. And then when I closed it, I didn't, you know, I was trying to just try it. And I walked to my steps, my front steps, and I heard another snap. And I looked across the street, and I am thinking, what do you want?
Right.
What? Yeah. And I was just like, and I ended up going to sleep. And the next day, when I had to leave at 2:50 to go get my kid from school, this was November of 2017. Mm-hmm. So there was a tree across the street, and, you know, the one you've seen. And
yeah.
It was bent over like a marker, and there was two or three more and that were bent over like markers, and there was like two trees that were snapped off. So
wow,
whatever that means. Yeah, they wanted to get my attention really bad, and I'm not gonna lie to you, man. I wanted to sell my house and.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty close for comfort. That is right across the street. That's a whole different kind of reality. It's one thing to get in your car and drive for an hour, and then go see some weird mm-hmm. Bigfoot stuff, and then go home an hour away. But you know, when it's right across the street, that's a whole different kind of weird and uncomfortable. So I don't blame you.
Yeah, and in this mountain range here, I think the same clan runs. I'm sure there's more. I mean, because mm-hmm. you know, this mountain here goes on all sides, and it's a pretty big area. I've gotten reports. These hunters call me one day. Friends of these hunters. This is last year. They were hunting in this area off of Highway 41 here,
mm-hmm.
and they were. I think they were on between private property and state land. Well, something started more. The trees were bashing and everything. And I talked to one of the hunters, and he just kind of told me their story and where they were at. And I said, "Have you hunted there before?" And no. I said, "Well, you probably just ran into something that didn't want you there. It could have been a Sasquatch or something else." And,
right.
you know, so that he was just like really freaked out. I think it was crossbow oh. season.
Okay.
Yeah, because I said, "Well, you, I made some kind of reference about, you know, if they, something about if, you know, did they shoot it or how did they feel like, or y'all didn't shoot it?" Because he made some kind of comment, and he said that it was that they had the crossbow. So, yeah, so that was, you know, stuff like that. People call me here and there, and, you know, there was another property where me and Glenn went to my, this property, there's 70 acres and, just really weird. It's by this small lake. It's so small. And if you blink, it's gone.
Right. You
missed it. Yeah. There's a lady that had a house there, and she has all those weird signs in front of her house.
Right.
Yeah. She had like Bible
verses
yeah. and she had all this stuff, something about the giants and,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
Yeah. And very now, strange.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not, you know, this person is pretty eccentric from my understanding, but this is also not someone that lives on the main drag and is trying to spread the news of Jesus. You know, this is, it appears this person has these signs up as a form of protection is all I can figure. You know, because it's not a well-traveled road. It's a real backcountry road. And, mm-hmm. you know, it appears something had this person so spooked that they felt the need to put Bible verses out on signs around the property.
Mm-hmm. And so we were called to go check out this property. So I went there two or three different times. And on the way back,
mm-hmm.
It was cold. I think it was March. Uh-huh. No, it was the end of February, and then March, me and Glenn went out there. But on this one occasion, when I came home, it was 10 miles away. I saw something like a blur in the, like, traveling. And that's getting on the weird part that I don't understand, stuff that I never believed. Stuff that's happened to me this year, and people have been there with me when weird stuff has happened.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only reason that I am talking about it, because I saw like this black blur, something like I looked like it just like was like a flash.
Oh, you know, I gotta share this with you. It's something I haven't shared with you before, but I was driving with a friend of mine, and we were about maybe 20 miles west of town or east of town, towards Montana. Mm-hmm. And we were going up a logging road and I was just kind of, you know, admiring the scenery. It's beautiful mountains around here, ladies and gentlemen. So it's not really hard to, you know, lose yourself in the scenery, but I'm just looking out the window as we're driving. It's a terrible road. We're bouncing all over the place, but all of a sudden, you know, I saw this weird, and for lack of a better term, it was this huge shadow about 200 yards or 150 yards in front of us in the trees just move. And it wasn't, it was like a wall of,
like a blur,
but a wall of nighttime, you know, just moving. And it was not really sharp edged. It was just like this black cloud moved through the forest. And I saw it and I was like, huh. I didn't dare say anything because the guy I'm with, of course, I don't want him to think I'm Fruit Loops. He goes, oh my God, did you see that? And I said, you know, all I saw was this weird shadowy blur move. He goes, yeah, that's what I saw. And I was like, oh my God. So I saw I saw the same type of phenomena you saw.
Well, there's other stuff that's happened. My sister and her husband came up here, and you know, he's into Bigfoot. She's not. In fact, she like rolls her eyes, but she's a good sport. Uh-huh. So me and her, so we went up to Priest Lake. My husband, me, my younger son, and my sister and her husband. So we went up to Granite Falls, Priest Lake. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look on a map of Priest Lake, it's like on the left side. But still, it doesn't matter. Anything running that area is going to run that whole area. Mm-hmm. So we went up this trail because it kind of like loops around through the cedar growth and then it comes back down. Mm-hmm. There's actually an easy trail and there's a difficult. Now, if you don't take the loop to the old cedar growth, if you keep going, we went probably like an hour and a half, or an hour. It seemed like a lot longer. So we kept tracking in. Part of that was because we weren't sure how far we were supposed to go. Now I know the trail, but back then we kind of, you know, went up and then I was like, well, I'm not going to make calls. So my sister's husband, I think, I'm trying to think if he said anything, but there was something that I did and I don't remember if I've had clocked rocks or, you know, I kind of feel kind of stupid now that I think about it, but hey, we want to get a reaction. So sometimes, you know, people will do stuff like, you know, to get a reaction from them.
Sure.
I'm not going to lie. I'm guilty of that. So, we could hear something coming. And it was coming through the forest and we could hear a thud. So, and then we came back to the area where more people were at, where mm-hmm. That goes through the old cedar growth. And then we ended up leaving. I had forgotten. There was a rock in the path that wasn't there before on the way back.
Oh, wow.
And for some reason, I remember it to be this really huge rock. But my sister said it was just a big rock, but it wasn't as big. Because I think I was telling Dick this story, and I had said it was this large boulder or something. But my sister said, no, it wasn't a large boulder. It was a big rock, but it wasn't there. So the whole point is that it wasn't there, and then it was there on the way back down. Oh. And then when we came back to my house that night, we were sitting in front of my house. I mean, in my front yard, of course, which is it's wooded at the edge. I'm on 6 acres, but everything else around me is wooded.
Uh-huh.
So I saw lights. My brother-in-law and my sister, we saw lights by the road. Like someone has flashed a camera.
Wow.
And I have no idea what that means. I don't know. I don't know. I know is that I saw that. And then actually just a couple of weeks ago, I was getting up trying to make coffee. So I've had some things that, you know, like I'm like questioning.
So what happened?
What is that? I see that?
You got up and made coffee. What happened?
You
got up to make coffee and what happened?
Okay, so again, it's 5. I get up at 5 or 5:15, just depends. It was 5:50. This is actually last week.
Okay.
And it's kind of daylight out, dark daylight, whatever, in the morning.
Yeah.
And my son was coming up behind me and I saw like a tail. Like it wasn't a coyote's tail, kind of like a wolf's tail.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw it creeping through my backwoods.
Oh.
And I told my son, I was like, look at that. So he saw the tail end of whatever, and it was moving through the woods, which of course that could be anything, right? But
sure.
Going back to that recording where someone said that what it was their opinion, They sent me a private video of a camera that took a picture of, if you look at it, it looks like a wolf running, mm-hmm. but then it jumped really high. And I'm like, what's that, a wolf? And they said, well, that's a dog, man. I'm like, a dog, man? Because when you tell me a dog, man, I think of an upstanding, walking, ugly, scary. But this thing looked like a wolf, and it was running, and then it jumped really high. So she was just trying to give me an example of the form running.
Okay.
And I said, well, the tail looked like what I saw, but it was. So, you know, that could be anything. But just these weird things, like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
And then another morning, same thing, same time in the morning. It was March this time. I saw, like, kind of like what you said, like a black thing, like a black thing go from the edge of my yard, like it was creeping, kind of like on creeping on the ground, and it hovered low behind a tree. And I'm like, what the heck? And I flipped the light on outside, but it was still kind of, you know, dark at that time, like now. Because I think that was before the time change.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to take my son. And then when I came back home, I didn't go out there till it lightened up a little bit.
Right.
And then I walked out there. And, of course, we had snow. So there was a trail of, like, ash, something ashy from point A behind a tree to where it came to land. And there was no prints.
Wow.
So I started talking. And then I was getting these weird recordings of these really aggressive, you know, sounds like some that you've heard.
Right.
And then, like, in the morning, that disturbing moan that I know is a Sasquatch, but my friend said that's some kind of warning.
Mm.
So who knows what's going on?
Right. But there's no shortage of stuff going on. That's what's amazing. Now, I think, you know, as I've been talking about the paranormal for so many years, what I think probably occurs, and it's probably some of the same reasons that some really weird technical things happen here in the studio, it's that, you know, we talk about paranormal all the time. So we may very well, for lack of a better term, almost magnetize ourselves to it. And so these things, these other beings just seem to be aware of that on some level. And, you know, it's like this gravity that we create to draw these things to us. And I'm sure in your case, that's probably very much what happens, is that, you know, you've been absolutely on this quest for years to figure out, you know, what is this? What does it mean? And, you know, you're always looking and asking the questions. And so, you know, perhaps they're finding you.
Well, the only thing I can say is that I live here. And my husband has traveled quite a bit. And because I already knew what was what when I moved here in 2004, which, you know, I know we don't have time to go into all that. But, you know, over the years, I have had different encounters. My son, you know, we found footprints here on our property by where our horses used to be. My horses have even been messed with. You know, all the typical stuff of Sasquatch that I knew, you know, like the footprints, you know, stuff like that, or structures on my property, weird stuff like that, you know, stuff that I have been taught, or noises that I hear.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was gone for a year, and then I came back, and then it picked up. I know that there was one coming here on my property. You know, and so it's just the typical sounds that I'm accustomed to. And then all of a sudden, all this weird stuff starts happening.
Right.
Why is that? Because I'm paying attention now? Because I've never really been into, like, you know, collecting any kind of audio until, for some reason, 2017, I just said, I want to start doing this. And, you know, I wonder where I can get if I just put this off my porch. I have some recordings that are crazy. You know, I've come home late at night, and I will be talking in my kitchen. Like, I have one recording where I'm talking in my kitchen, and they're going off, but this time it's not like a really bad growl. It's their typical, right. out in the doing their thing, yeah. hunting or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But I'm in there talking to my son or my dog. I have no idea. I had just gotten home. It was midnight. I had just put on my audio. And when I'm hearing it like the next couple of days, I'm like, holy cow.
Right.
You know, I'm talking and then I can hear this audio. There's all kinds of crap going on here. And I think it's a lot more than just a Sasquatch. Mm-hmm. But also, there's a lot of unrest here in this area, and even in your area, this whole area has history.
It really does. It has a lot of different paranormal histories and a lot of different paranormal legends. So I think it's really an amazing area. Not only that, and ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't figure it out before, Cindy and I actually live very close to each other in neighboring communities. So mm-hmm. We are in basically the same area. So what she's describing is not that far away from me. So it's just stuff that's in our area. Cindy and Glenn also came out and helped Don and I investigate a shelter that we were notified about. And it was a really incredible shelter. If you're looking for more information about that, definitely check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/paranormalportal. And you can find the video in question that has the footage and some pictures of what we found, but an incredible structure that, and the backstory of that was that we got contacted by somebody who had 30 chickens and they were suddenly down to 9 and there was no feathers, no signs of, any kind of like animal, like a fox or a raccoon or an owl or whatever attacking these chickens. 'Cause if they do, they'll blow their feathers. All they knew is that their chickens were systematically disappearing over a period of several nights until there was only 9 left out of 30. And it's just such a unique story and really neat story. But at the same time, it's really disconcerting because, what does that mean? Well, I don't know. But this is definitely a hotspot kind of area for sure. So what is next for you, Cindy?
Well, I was just going to tell you that from the kind of research that I used to do, which was very backbreaking and very tracking, because I ain't no spring chicken, honey, okay?
I understand.
Hey,
yeah.
I have paid my dues. I have slogged through the creeks, through the water. I've, all that. I've in East Texas and Oklahoma. I've tracked up mountains, hills, you name it. Now, here I am, it feels kind of wrong that I'm drinking coffee and I'm hearing it from my front porch. Mm-hmm. All I have to do is go up my mountain and, here's the funny thing. Mm-hmm. I don't have an area on the mountain because I made a deal with them, and you're probably going to think this is crazy, but I live here. I respect them. Will not. Even though I've done this, I have made calls, but I'm not going to go up on my mountain. But I might, but I was afraid to upset them. So I pretty much just let them do their thing. I know they're there. But as far as like hike footprints up in the mountain,
my board is
I don't
haunted.
Have to do that.
No, you don't. And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, my board is absolutely haunted. I mean, honest to God, it switched scenes twice on me. I wasn't touching anything this time. I got a sage.
Oh, my God.
There it goes again. It did it again. I don't know what the hell's going on. This is so bizarre, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm leaving it in because this is the truth of the show. This is the truth. This is the weird crap that happens that I have no explanation for. I don't know why
this is. That's what we get for talking about.
Well, we're talking about Sasquatch. We're not talking about spirits, but my God. I mean, there's no explanation. I have a touchpad. It has like several rows of buttons. Each button represents mm-hmm. a scene because we do a live show. And each mm-hmm. scene is a different camera angle or a different thing, like a break. When we do our live shows, we have breaks on Friday and Saturday nights. And each one of them represents something else. Now, what keeps happening is the credit scene keeps getting pressed. Now, I'm not touching that, and that's what happened before when I was trying to touch the other scene that would have showed my camera and Don's camera. just testing it out for the show because, you know, I mean, you just got to test things out. Now, I'm not touching anything, and it switched twice or three times. Four times. Just did it again.
Oh, my God.
Four times. It just did it again. I'm not touching a thing, ladies and gentlemen. My hand to God on everything I love, I am not doing this. This is doing it itself. This has never, ever happened before. Very bizarre behavior, but it's the portal. I don't know what else to say. I mean, honest to God, I do believe the show is haunted. I don't think it's malicious. I don't think it's creepy and spooky, but I think it's bizarre. And, you know, I'm going to have to smudge, but I'm so sorry for those of you that are listening going, what the hell did she just say? Nothing. I heard music and then nothing. So, I apologize for those interruptions and delays. And to whatever spirit is present, please knock it off. Come on, let me get through this. What they're probably saying is, come on, wrap it up. Because, oddly enough, we are at about almost the hour mark. So that is about the end of the show. But I just want to thank you so much for being here, as always. It's just such a rare pleasure to talk to you. And I'm really honored to have you as a friend and to share these experiences on the show.
Don't be ridiculous.
Well, I mean it. I mean, you bring a lot to the show. You've been incredibly enthusiastic about the show, and you've really helped it grow. So thank you so much for being a part of the family.
Oh, of course. I'm happy for your success, and I hope it continues, because you know what? I think you're a lot more passionate about what you do, and you know, y'all are good people. So I appreciate both of you guys and all of my other friends, you know, in this arena, because it's a cutthroat world.
It is. Unfortunately, the Bigfoot world is really cutthroat.
Yeah, it is.
But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to bring us to the end of the show tonight. We'll have Cindy back on many times. We'll have her come back with her recordings next time, and we'll go through those so you guys can hear those things. But I just wanted to get you a chance to be introduced to her, because she's an incredible person and an amazing friend. And she'll definitely be back on the podcast. So we'll have her back. And we'll bring the recordings and discuss more of this amazing journey she's undertaken. So we love you guys. Be good, be kind, be nice, take care of each other, help each other out. Find the magic in every day, and try to laugh as much as you can. But you guys have a wonderful night, and I will talk to you soon. And we'll be back with another episode of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Remember to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. Follow us on YouTube. See the live stream of our shows. There's hundreds of episodes up there if you want to check out more of the Paranormal Portal. And that is youtube.com/paranormalportal. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. So check it out there. And you can follow Cindy on Facebook as well, Cindy Goodbreak. And she's out there. So, but we'll be back. There's a podcast dropping Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So look for them, guys. And thank you so much for helping to support our endeavor into the podcasting universe. And a special thank you to Revolver Podcasts for helping us on this journey as well. So love you guys, and we'll be back soon.
Hi, this is Don with Paranormal Portal. Thank you for checking out our Paranormal Portal podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/paranormalportal. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.